AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. AM 570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peete.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peete.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, we continue. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peete on your home of the world champion Dodgers. AM 570 LA Sports. Listen live and podcast the show on the iHeartRadio app. Only 2 hours for us today, so coming up at about 1:30, Laker insider Bill Oram in hour one. We discussed the fact that LeBron is not playing tonight. He's going to get ready for the All-Star game. Whether he plays tonight or not, it doesn't really matter. Good. I'm glad he's taking the night off.
Yeah. Yeah, he deserves a night off. He deserves the All-Star break off, really.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's got to go.
He didn't need to even play last night.
No.
To be honest with you. But anyway, we'll get into that with Bill Oram coming up at 1:30. And now, we need to come together, and we also need to get you caught up on what's been going on. So for both of those, we welcome on Vic the Brick with the Daily Haiku at 2, which today is at 1:02. And Vic, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Fred. Good afternoon, Rodney Peete.
Vic the Brick. Yeah.
How is Dad feeling today?
Dad is feeling much better today. We're going to get him home today, Vic.
Oh, that's great news.
Yeah.
Give him all love.
Will do. Will do.
Good afternoon, Kevin Figgis.
Oh, come on now.
Uh-huh. And you know, on the ones and the twos and the threes and the fours, it's a Ronnie Fascio.
King Flavor now.
Yeah. In the house for you, the flavor that you crave, the vibe that cannot be denied. Well, before we get to the haiku, it's a baseball haiku, of course, as we're immersed. Spring training, where the Dodgers are still undefeated in spring training play.
Yes.
I take the games relatively seriously.
You don't even know who's playing.
I know exactly who's playing.
In the Dodger games?
Tonight, the Reds.
No. You said you take the game seriously. You don't know the players playing in these games.
Well, the first couple innings... I mean, you got to see Mookie last night, right?
Yeah.
And slash Vic that is, double.
And Vic is about the name on the front of the jersey, not the back always, Fred.
I want to see clean hardball, Fred.
On the Dodgers blue.
Dodgers are playing some clean hardball.
Yeah. Vic doesn't care if Fred Rogan is playing for the Dodgers. As long as he's wearing Dodger blue, he cares about it.
What'd you think?
Exactly.
What'd you think of James Outman last night?
Big double.
Ha ha!
Big double for Outman.
Good pull, Vic. That a boy, Vic.
Impressive.
He's no Outman. He's a doubleman.
Hey, Vic, what is clean hardball?
Well, it's a phrase a lot of baseball guys use. Sharp defensively. The pitchers have control of their pitches. The at-bats are crisp. They're not swinging out of the strike zone. They're executing. It's clean hardball. Dodgers are playing some clean exhibition ball.
Okay.
But before we get to the haiku, it's a baseball haiku. You guys hear about Shaquille wrestling tonight on TNT?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, Shaq loves wrestling. He was an amazing Andre the Giant fan. And has appeared over the years in some cameos in the ring. But tonight, it's a all-elite wrestling match, mixed tag team. Shaquille will be teamed up with Jade Cargill. And he's going up against Cody Rhodes and Red Velvet in Jacksonville, Florida.
Ooh.
James Carville, the guy that was in the Clinton White House?
Yeah, he's the political commentator.
Yeah, so he's wrestling too now? I didn't know.
Could be his relative, Cargill? Jade Cargill.
Oh,
Cargill.
Cargill.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
What is that, James
It's a
Carville.
Mixed tag team. Right. Mixed tag team.
Gotcha.
Remember when Shaq wrestled Charles Barkley?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? That actually was great. Charles Barkley was terrified.
Yeah, of course he was.
Oh, Shaq would have killed him.
Well, you got Shaq, 7 feet one, you know, 380 pounds. He's a massive man mountain. He's the big blessing.
You'd have to outquick him, Vic. That'd be your only shot.
Yeah. Shaq will depend on power tonight against Cody Rhodes. Pure power. Because Shaq doesn't come off the ropes. You know that.
Yeah, the ring would collapse. Of course he does.
Exactly.
You come into Shaq's circle of love. That's going to be the key. He gets his hands around you and boom. Shaq will do some sort of, you know, wild chokehold. You know, it's Shaq's victory tonight. We'll be monitoring the Big Blessings ring flavor tonight on TNT, no doubt.
Yes.
This haiku is...
Oh, that's it for today? You didn't have more?
Well, I did have one. I don't want to expand it beyond Shaquille, but have you guys heard about this 7'9" Nigerian baller, Abiodun Adegoke?
No.
Oh, yeah. I saw a quick clip of him.
Right?
Yeah.
7'9"? Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
He's playing in the, I think the, he's 19 or he's 20 or he's 21.
Who
so not like Albert Pujols' age. No one knows.
Exactly.
But if he made the league, he'd be the tallest ever in the association.
What's his game, Vic?
Inside.
Dunking?
No, that I figured, but I mean, can he play?
Well, apparently he's got some skills. He's nimble. From the reports I've seen, he's very nimble for a 7'9" guy.
Well, here's the thing. The Lakers are looking for a big.
I'd look into it. I would look into this Nigerian. 7'9". Abiodun Adegoke.
How old is he?
They say he's 19 or through 21. They're not sure.
19 through 21. They give a window.
It's a window, exactly. But he's playing high school ball, I think, in the United Arab Emirates, or he's some sort of league. He's playing an organized ball. But he'd be the ultimate project, of course. But you know, so is Yao Ming. Wasn't Yao Ming a 7'6" a project? Manute Ball, 7'6". He was a project. They turned out great.
His son, Bol Bol.
Bol Bol.
But yeah, Bol Bol. Well, it's baseball time, fellas. And that means baseball haiku. I'm taking it to the max. Again, throwing it down. Cor Van Den Hovel. Cor Van Den Hovel.
Oh, he's back.
He's back. Cor.
I missed this one.
Cor Van Den Hovel. Corvandenhovel.
Where does he hail from? Cor Van Den Hovel.
East Coast.
East Coast?
What part?
Maine, maybe?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You know Cor.
Yeah, I had him as Brady Van Nostrum, but his name was Cor Van whatever.
Cor Van Den.
Yeah.
Cor Van Den.
What is his background? Do we know Kevin?
Cor Van Den.
I'm trying to dig it back up here.
Last name Hovel. Hovel.
Like a hovel.
Yeah, like a hovel.
Born
exactly.
Born in Maine.
Okay.
Moved to New Hampshire. Currently lives in New York. He first discovered haiku in 58 while living in San Francisco when he heard someone named Gary Snyder mention it in a poetry reading.
One of the great beat poets of all time, Gary Snyder, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
He joined the Haiku Society of America in 1971 and became president in 1978.
Oh, so this is a big-time guy. He was the president.
Yeah, and he's been around for a while. Published several books on his own haiku, including one on baseball.
Wait a minute. Is this the guy that did erotic haiku?
No.
I don't believe so. I think that was a different guy.
I can't remember who that guy was.
I think that was a haiku in your mind, Fred.
No.
No, that wasn't in our mind. We looked it up and found it.
Yeah.
I was going to buy the book until I realized it costs like $200, but...
He's only written one.
Right. That's the problem.
Available at Amazon.
Yeah, it is, if you want to spend $200.
That's crazy. It's got to be a big book of haiku. So this is the haiku for you on this Wednesday. Is it March the 3rd already?
Yes.
Incredible. Everyone stay dry, stay warm today in this the pulsating rain. It's not the haiku, it's just me.
Yeah, I think it's going to stop around 4.
Everyone stay safe, drive safely.
You want to say tip your waiter too?
Two shows nightly, Pacoima Hilton. Thank you very much. This is by Cor Vandenhoven. Summer afternoon. The long fly ball to center field takes its time. I'm feeling you. Cor Vandenhoven.
I guess there was no rush on that long fly ball to center.
It takes its time.
Yeah.
Long fly ball takes its time.
I love that because, you know, baseball in the summer, it's so languishing and time basically standing still. You're watching some beautiful baseball and you're relaxed and tranquil. And there's that long fly ball to center field. Even the baseball takes its time in that summer afternoon. I love this. I love this haiku.
Vic, did he hit it out of the park? Or was it just a long fly warning track shot?
Wow. Judging by the flavor of the haiku, I believe it was catchable. The warning. I think it was a warning track shot.
Just a lazy fly ball is what you're saying, Vic.
Long fly ball.
A long.
So it was deep.
Wow, what a deep fly ball.
What a bummer haiku, Vic.
Bummer? I find it brilliant.
Whoa. No.
Whoa.
A bummer. Everybody wants scoring,
bummer?
Even in your haiku. I mean, long fly ball took its time. It's out of here. That's what I want to see, Vic. I don't want to see some ball caught in left center.
Well,
I want to see it out of the park.
You could interpret it that way. That is the beauty of the haiku. It's up to interpretation.
Because the haiku did not say that. Did not say it was gone or caught.
No, but I asked our expert.
It just said it was a long fly ball.
Yep. Long fly ball to center field.
Yeah.
It could have been out. It could have been out.
But you did not think it was, and that's what caused me to react the way I did.
I felt warning track power there.
Okay.
Because, you know, the new baseball with the threading and the cockamamie stitching. Yeah.
Kevin, who was the erotic haikuist?
I'll have to dig him up, Fred. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah. Vic, tomorrow, why don't you read one of those?
Erotic haikus, Fred?
Yeah, read one of those. We have one. There's a guy that does it. You've used them before. He wrote
it. You did.
I don't believe I've ever read an erotic haiku.
Okay. No, you read it from the guy, but he also does erotic haikus, right?
It was
the one
George,
we read was not a haiku.
Was it George Swede?
One.
Yes, George Swede wrote a book called Erotic Haiku of Skin on Skin.
Can we have a George Swede erotic haiku of skin on skin tomorrow?
I've never read that haiku text, but I'll look into it.
Yeah, let's branch
George
off.
George Swede, the Swede.
Right, the Lithuanian guy.
Well, you're tired of the baseball haikus already? It's the third game of the exhibition season.
No, I understand, but I mean, just mix it up a little bit. Just mix it up. Throw one of those in every once in a while.
Kurt Vandenhoven, I think, threw a brilliant haiku at us today.
It was nice, Vic. It was good. It was confusing, but it was good.
I found total clarity.
Fred wanted closure on where if the ball was caught or it was out. That's what he wanted.
Again, it's the haiku is open to your interpretation, Fred. That's the beauty of the haiku.
Okay.
It grows your mind.
You know what my interpretation was? The guy grounded out to short.
But it was a long fly ball. You knew that part of it.
It's my interpretation.
Oh.
Long fly ball in my mind was a bouncer in front of the plate. Picked up. The guy was tagged before he got out of the batter's box. Just bounced it in front of the plate, Vic. That was my interpretation.
You're wild today, Fred.
It's lit. Stories lighting up the sports headlines.
Brought to you by Jacob and Ronnie. You find yourself in trouble, be careful driving, as Vic pointed out. Roads will be a little slick, but if you find yourself in trouble, you need the best attorney. He's our attorney, Jacob Imrani, 844-24-JACOB.
Accident or injury, call Jacob Imrani, call Jacob.
Speaking of warning track power, Vic brought up Albert Pujols a second ago and not knowing what his age may or may not be. That's interesting. So former Marlins president David Sampson was a guest on Dan Le Batard's podcast. He said, quote, there's not one person in baseball, not one executive, that believes Albert Pujols is the age that he says he is. He says the amount of fraud that was going on in the Dominican Republic back in the day, the changing of names, changing of birthdays, would absolutely blow your mind if you actually had knowledge about it. Now, as of now, he's listed at 41 years old. Some believe that he could be as old as 44 or 45, Fred.
Well, I thought he was 60.
Oh, Fred.
In that regard, really? It's a lot younger than I thought. Yeah, you know what's interesting about this, though? And first, we really don't know how old he is. But, you know, he said he'll decide after the season if he's going to come back. Once he moved to Anaheim, and he, listen, he's had a great career, and he got paid, he kind of went on a 10-year Kobe Bryant retirement tour. Because that's kind of what it's been, right?
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in Anaheim with the Angels, he never was what he was with St. Louis. He didn't have that kind of team around him either.
But he wasn't that impact. He didn't have that impact either, right?
Right, he didn't have that impact at all. So, you know, however old he is, I think, what, in 2 years he'll collect Social Security.
Wow.
So,
jeez. Wow.
Good luck to him.
What was the most home runs he hit as an Angel, Kevin? Do you know?
Maybe 26. I'll have to look it up. But
never got over 30, right?
If he did, it was maybe exactly 30, if even that.
Yeah. No, that's interesting because you always hear stories about, you know, Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico or, you know, Latin countries and players coming over and changing their age and what their age really is. The fact that it was, he said that no one knows for a fact how old he actually is. Do you think, how many times do you think Albert Pujols was asked, how old are you? That he gave, because he had to be consistent, right, with the age he gave.
Yeah, but maybe he didn't know himself.
Maybe he didn't know. Maybe he believed it so much that he just, that's how old he thought he was. But how dare you say he was getting Social Security next week?
Rick? I said 2 years.
Oh.
I will say, Rodney, his best season with the Angels was 2015. He actually hit 40 home runs that year and actually made it to the All-Star game. Okay. And he had 31 the year after that.
See, Fred? Back-to-back 30-plus home run years. You saying he did coast? He coasted for 10.
I didn't say he coasted for 10. I just said he wasn't as impactful. And when did he have those years?
2015 and 2016.
Okay. So his last big year was 5 years ago.
In 2015 may have been the year they made the playoffs and lost to the Royals in the first round. The one time they would have made the playoffs with him on the roster.
I don't buy into this Florida ex-GM doubting the great machine, El Machina. Because number one, Albert did not grow up in the DR. He grew up in Kansas City. You don't think they have records in Kansas City, Missouri of his age? He went to high school in Kansas City, I believe.
He did, yes.
I don't understand why this Florida guy is coming down on his age. His age has been well documented for a long time. His career is so magnificent. Yes, of course he's on the downside. I mean, how could he? You can't put up those same numbers he put up in St. Louis. Those were astronomical, mind-blowing numbers year after year. You know, Adi Moreno just loved him. Loved, and still does. He's like a ceremonial piece. You know, talk about mega piece. You know, like Bron Cole's AD, a mega piece. Albert's a mega piece. He just, his numbers, of course, are not as insane, astronomical as they were in St. Louis. They're still solid. Any other major leaguer would take Albert's numbers for the last 5 years. Right or wrong?
Probably take that contract, too. Now, I saw this. The Washington football team made some news today. No, they're not changing their name as of yet. But they did announce they're doing away with cheerleaders. Cheerleaders totally gone. But they are going to bring in 36 dancers is what they call them. They said they're looking for people that are super athletic, that can dance, perform tricks and stunts, and manipulate whatever props that will create a really great show. Now, we know that Dr. Jerry Buss was one of the revolutionaries when it came to halftime entertainment, in-between timeout entertainment. A lot of people have felt recently, Fred, that maybe time has passed and fans don't really necessarily need that sort of in-game entertainment in-between timeouts and during the half. I know there's a couple of franchises in the NFL that never had cheerleaders and probably won't now. And many believe that cheerleaders in general, the entire theory, should probably go away, and it's not really necessary at this point.
Given the problems the Washington football team has had and some of the charges that have been made within their front office, I don't think they should say we're looking for dancers that can manipulate props.
You can give yourself a rim shot on that one, Fred.
That does sound a little suspect, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. The cheerleaders are an added part of the festivity. I don't know. Hire dancers. Because to me, you know what? And this is just me again. If you're a dancer, that's one thing. If you're 46 years old with pom-poms out there going, go Washington football team, why?
Do they have 46-year-old cheerleaders?
Sure they do.
No, they don't.
No, they don't. Rodney would know, by the way.
No, they don't.
Okay, all right.
Why don't we just ask Rob Parker? He might know.
Oh, yeah, sure. He'd be the expert. I don't know if there's an age cutoff, and maybe that's age discrimination. I'm not sure how that works. But generally speaking, they're probably between the ages of 18 and 24 or something, Rodney.
And it's usually a stepping stone for a lot of them to do something else. But, you rarely see over 40 cheerleaders, Fred.
Okay, well, adult cheerleaders.
Or NBA. I agree with you, Fred. Why are they even making a deal about this? Just worry about getting a name first and then move on to the cheerleaders, but to put it out there like this. And I disagree with you, Kevin. How dare you say get rid of the cheerleaders? I love the Laker girls, and that was a big thing. It still is a big thing. The Raiderettes, the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. I played for both of those franchises, mm-hmm. Kevin.
You're right.
How dare you tell me to get rid of those cheerleaders, especially being drafted by the Detroit Lions as one of those teams that didn't have cheerleaders. I was pleasantly surprised and loved the fact that I went to Dallas and had the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. In fact, my sister-in-law was a Raiderette. So, how dare you, Kevin? Let's keep those cheerleaders going.
Bro, I didn't say they needed to get rid of them. I'm fairly indifferent. I just know there's been a groundswell of support for getting rid of cheerleaders. Doesn't bother me one bit. Vic?
Bless all cheerleaders.
Laker girl.
Bless all cheerleaders.
Yes, Vic.
We need them. The players need them. The fans need them. But, yeah, for the Washington Football Club to be fixated on their cheerleaders instead of more prominent problems like getting their franchise, out of the toilet, to me, they have really screwed up priorities.
Wait, Vic, the players need them?
They're inspiring. Ask Rodney. They're inspiring.
Vic. Yes, they are, Vic.
When?
Yeah, at what point? It's like, hey, look, it's the third quarter. We're getting our ass kicked.
And they could be distracting to the other team.
Yes.
I distinctly remember being backed up on our own 5-yard line when I was playing for the Lions, and we were in the NFC Central, the old NFC Central, where Tampa Bay was in our division, and we'd go down to Tampa Bay, and we were backed up in our own 5, and they sent out those Buccaneer cheerleaders right in the end zone to distract us. I think we fumbled the next play, Kevin.
You know what? If I was Washington, I wouldn't be surprised if they just kept the team name the Washington Football Team. Honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
Keep it generic.
Gotta have some sort of nickname, right?
Yeah. What's the logo on the helmet gonna be? No logo?
Just put a W.
Nah, I can't do that.
I think it'd be kind of classy.
No, too much money and paraphernalia and those. Too much money into having logos and having a mascot that I don't see them doing that.
And branding.
Yes.
It's hard to brand just the Washington Football Team. And that's what's lighting up the headlines.
Kevin's been great.
LA Sports. All right, Laker insider Bill Orem will join us next. We'll get into the decision of LeBron not to play tonight. Also, stop the whining.
If you missed any of Rogan and Rodney, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Where is my mind? I be in my feelings. Every single person in my life. Tell me I'm the hero. But when it's up and then go down and trim it.
Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan. On a hump day, a Wednesday. A 440, as Fred would call it. Short show, 2 hours a day. It's all good. We got spring training. We got Clipper basketball. We got everything going on right now, Fred.
Sure do.
An abundance of riches.
Yes, we do. And follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at AM570 LA Sports. Get breaking news and stories first and see and hear exclusive interviews from Dodger spring training in Arizona with Dodger insider David Vassay. AM570 LA Sports, your home of the world champion Dodgers. World champion Lakers are in Sacramento tonight. Let's bring on our insider, Bill Oram. And Bill, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing fine. LeBron said no mas. He tapped out of this one. No big deal, is it?
Yeah. No, it's not. I mean, I think you could probably turn it into something if you really wanted to, but I'm not that spun up about it. But, I mean, you know, the guy has spent all year saying that, you know, he's not going to rest, and if he's healthy, he's going to play, and that his most important – you know, what's most important to him is being available for his teammates. And here we are in a situation where the Lakers are shorthanded. No Marc Gasol due to health and safety protocols. No Anthony Davis. You know, LeBron's been the only guy really keeping this team afloat. And, you know, he's not going to be here for this one. But, look, there's an All-Star game on Sunday that he doesn't want to play in. But, you know, he's obligated to appear in. You know, you've got the second half of the season to think about. A lot of us, I think, have been kind of beating the drum for LeBron to take a step back all year, you know, take off the second night of a back-to-back. And so he's finally doing it. And, you know, it's probably to everyone's benefit, even though, I mean, this could be a really ugly game tonight. I mean, the Lakers are shorthanded, the Kings are shorthanded, and the Kings aren't very good to begin with. This is going to be a really interesting matchup and could be a huge THT game, to be honest.
Yeah, let's see. Now there's speculation it's you know, you got to give a medical reason, I guess, and there's some ankle sprain. There's nothing really going on with LeBron in terms of injury, soreness, or anything like that, right?
I mean, not that we know of that there would be anything new. I mean, this sure sounds like a planned rest given the circumstances of this week. And, you know, he's been dealing with, I mean, quote-unquote dealing with, but he's been on the injury report with a sprained left ankle since opening night. You know, he hurt his ankle against the Clippers way back on December 22nd, if you remember. And he's been on the injury report with that all year long. Always was probable or questionable. And, you know, he's played through it. So we've got about 9 days between games for the Lakers here. He's got to go to Atlanta and play in the All-Star game. But otherwise, you know, use that time to rest up and be well for the second half of the season and a deep postseason run.
Well, the good news, I guess, if your glass is half full, with him not playing tonight, that'll give guys a chance to get up more shots, and God knows they need practice shooting, so it might work out in their favor.
Well, I mean, there, I suppose there's that, but who's going to pass them the ball?
Don't make problems. Don't create problems.
No, I mean, you're right, and, you know, this is kind of your classic last game before the All-Star break sort of situation. The Lakers are, you know, pretty well established as a top half of the West team, even with their, you know, their current issues and their losses of late. They've lost 6 of their last 9 games. But this is an opportunity for some of those guys to go out and get buckets, maybe get, you know, a little bit of, you know, positive rhythm going into the break. But I mean, you know, the real work to be done will be after the All-Star break when this team reconvenes and we see, you know, kind of them prepare for the stretch run of the season and kind of really start to focus in on seeding, hopefully get Anthony Davis back within a week of the All-Star game or so and kind of get serious. But to me, this is one of those games you just get through, make sure you get through it relatively healthy, at least don't incur any new injuries and get home and then, you know, go on your All-Star break, wherever that may be, and come back in a week refreshed.
Hey, Bill, what kind of All-Star weekend do you think this is going to be when you've got – a majority of the players don't really want to be there and be a part of it, and especially like in a guy like LeBron's case or even some of the other guys around the league that just want to take this time to really have time off and really rest, not only physically but also mentally.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of why the Lakers baked in an extra night off for LeBron, just to give him a little more time. But I think, you know, it's going to be a very truncated All-Star weekend, right? It's an All-Star day. Everything's happening kind of around the game on Sunday in Atlanta. Players will be in and out. You know, you're not going to have the parties and the schmoozing and the events away from the arena like you're accustomed to having an All-Star weekend. I mean, this is truly a made-for-TV sort of event. You know, it's not going to be the place to, you know, see and be seen like you're used to at an All-Star game where you've got celebrities, you know, coming out of every nook and cranny of the arena. You know, this is definitely going to be a made-for-TV event. But, you know, I think you're going to have, you know, kind of a standard All-Star game. I don't expect, you know, great competition between the teams. But I do think, you know, once you get guys out there, like LeBron James, I think, you know, you'll see LeBron's juices get flowing early on. I think you'll see the highlight plays. Maybe you see him go for an All-Star MVP, that sort of thing. I mean, I think once guys are on the court and together, they will embrace it like a normal All-Star game. But, you know, I reported yesterday that Alex Caruso declined an invitation to participate in the slam dunk contest. You know, he was not alone. A lot of guys also declined. Because it's such a shortened experience. You know, there's a truncated format. You know, they're only having a few guys participate. You know, you can't bring as many guests. You're in and out. It's, you know, already been a tough season, you know, in terms of, you know, the timeline and testing and all of that. And this is the one chance to get away. If you don't have to be there, if you're not selected as an All-Star, you know, I think for a lot of guys, it just made more sense to pass on being part of kind of some of those ancillary events.
Hey, Bill, something I talked about in the first hour, and I don't know, now it's kind of bugging me. A lot of whining going on. I mean, LeBron, the king, obviously up on his throne, he whines an awful lot. Caruso whines an awful lot. Does that matter? Is that a good look for the Lakers? I mean, it seems like it's a bit annoying now.
I don't know how to answer that. I think, you know, LeBron has made it clear over the years that he doesn't think he gets, you know, fair treatment, or at least, you know, intermittently, you know, there's, you'll have games where he's not getting a fair whistle. And last night was one of those games, you know, where he was upset. Alex Caruso got hit in the face last night, you know, pretty hard. So, I mean, he had a reason to be upset. But last night, especially was a pretty tense game where you had a really physical, match up with the Suns, a lot of hard fouls. You had three fouls reviewed for flagrants, a lot of frustration. Devin Booker got thrown out. You know, in general, I think, you know, you're right. LeBron is a, you know, he wears his emotions on his sleeve and goes at, you know, officials, you know, whether he's called for a foul, not called for a foul, thinks he was fouled. You know, but that's kind of become part of his game at this point. And I don't think, you know, it certainly hasn't diminished from his greatness, because we sit here and talk about him being one of the greatest of all time. So, you know, I don't know.
Bill, anytime you have a superstar and a key component to your team like Anthony Davis out, and you're kind of figuring out how you're going to bring him back, are there any concerns that in terms of timing to get him back in enough time before the playoffs start to make sure they get their chemistry back like they had before he went out?
Well, you know, he will have been out about a month, maybe, you know, 4.5 weeks when he comes back, assuming they stick to the timeline. You know, I guess I wouldn't be too worried about the chemistry and kind of just the balance of the floor, because this team is so used to playing with him. You know, they've got a season and a half under their belt with him, so I feel like he'll fit back in and reintegrate pretty smoothly. But, I mean, yeah, there is always that concern that, you know, the pieces get too comfortable when a player is out. But I mean, look around. I mean, the Lakers are not comfortable right now. They are not just, you know, playing like a team that doesn't need Anthony Davis. I mean, there is an Anthony Davis shaped hole in what's going on with them. I mean, they miss his defense. They miss the ability to run offense through him in the high post. I mean, it's just been, you know, it's been very evident that Anthony Davis's absence has been huge for the Lakers during this stretch. So, you know, I think they will be able to reintegrate him smoothly. But to your point, you know, he's going to come back in mid to late March. I mean, if the timeline Frank Vogel gave, you know, was precise, he would be back on March 18th. I think that's against Charlotte. And, you know, that gives you two months before the start of the playoffs. That'd be like coming back, you know, in February in a normal season. And that gives you plenty of runway before the playoffs. I mean, I think the concern would be if they keep, you know, pushing that timeline back, if he had kind of recurring issues or aggravations and things like that, and then you start trying to bring him back in, let's say, you know, May, then I think that you'd be on something and there'd be some concern about not wanting him to be rusty before the playoffs. But as it is now, with the timeline we've been given, I think everything's, shaping up for the Lakers to be fine and kind of back to normal by the end of the month.
Okay, Bill, and the reports, and obviously everybody speculated on this, but the reports that the Lakers are indeed looking for another big, who might that big be?
Well, I mean, it kind of depends on what price tag you're looking at, because, Andre Drummond is the most popular name out there. He played like an all-star before the Cavs shut him down. He was putting up huge numbers in Cleveland and kind of looking like, his former self in Detroit. That would be a tremendous get for the Lakers, but they would really only be able to compete for his services on the buyout market if Cleveland ends up buying him out as opposed to a trade. If there was a buyout, you'd have a hard time seeing the Lakers not being at the front of the line for him. But, there's also smaller, caliber type guys you could bring in, whether it's, JaVale McGee. That's a little complicated. He'd have to be traded out of Cleveland first and then waived by another team before the Lakers could sign him. But, that sort of guy makes a ton of sense for the Lakers. And there's obviously a familiarity there. Hassan Whiteside with the Kings is a name I've been kind of throwing out all year, not to be your starter, not to replace Marc Gasol, but maybe as a guy who, gives you a little more depth and can be a little more matchup dependent as a rim protector and fill that role that you had with JaVale last year. Damian Jones, despite being on a 10-day contract and having kind of almost been, kind of played his way out of the league and waived by three teams, we're dealing with an incredibly small sample size, so let's not get carried away. But he has looked pretty good in the two games he's played with for the Lakers. Now, very, very limited minutes. But if we're talking about signing a 7-footer to sit on the deep bench and come in, in very specific situations, so far, Damian Jones has shown me that he might be able to do that. So maybe the answer is right under their nose. But it's a different conversation if we're talking about someone like Andre Drummond.
Okay, and I was wondering, Bill, it just hit me while you were talking about, getting a 7-footer, getting another big. Montrezl Harrell didn't play much last night. Did they think he was a defensive liability?
Yeah, and this is becoming a trend, and I would point you guys to a story that my colleague Jovan Buha wrote just today about why Frank Vogel seems to be losing trust in Montrezl Harrell down the stretch of games. And the reality is that defensively, he's a guy who will try hard, but he's not big enough to defend your bigger centers in the league, and he's not quick enough to stay on the floor when other teams go small. And so, he's the sixth man of the year. He's an incredible, has an incredible motor, but especially when you don't have Anthony Davis there to kind of protect him defensively, you run into a lot of issues with Montrezl Harrell's defense. And that's what you've seen kind of over this stretch where, they've closed games with Markieff Morris. They've brought Marc Gasol back in to close games, but now you're dealing with a situation where you don't have Marc Gasol, you don't have Anthony Davis, and you can't really, the only way to really protect Montrezl Harrell on the court is to not have him on the court. And that's what you've been seeing. So I do think that that's going to be something to monitor going forward, where you have a guy who is, obviously tremendously valuable offensively, great on the glass, the king of the putback, and he's been great for the Lakers in that role. But defensively, you're seeing a pretty big liability. And the only thing I'd say about that is it wasn't a huge glaring problem for the Lakers until they lost Anthony Davis to this injury. So if Anthony Davis is healthy, if Marc Gasol is healthy, then I think Frank Vogel has enough options to build the right defense for a given situation. But as it is right now, where Montrez and Markieff are basically your only options, it's almost impossible not to go with Markieff down the stretch.
Okay. Bill, thank you. As always, great information, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks a lot.
Rodney, one name here. Kendrick Nunn. He is second to none, and we'll explain that.
That is just sad.
Sad sack of the day.
All right, here we go. Sad sack of the day.
Got to do it, Fred.
You got to do it. Miami Heat guard Kendrick Nunn. He struggled last night, made just 3 of the 12 field goal attempts, and scored 6 points in the blowout loss to Atlanta. It snapped Miami's 6-game win streak, dropped their record to 17-18 on the season. Well done. Congratulations. Sad sack of the day, Kendrick Nunn, Miami Heat.
Aye, aye, aye.
Hey, Rodney, so James Harden is going to be back in Houston tonight.
Yes.
Here's what he said. You know, the love and the appreciation that I've given to that city and that I will give to that city, I'm hoping that favor can be returned. How do you think the people of Houston will react to James Harden's return tonight?
I don't think it'll be very favorable, to be honest with you. Just in the way he, in the manner he left. It's one thing to leave and you know, leave with a championship, leave not necessarily because you wanted to, but the team traded you, or leave after you gave him a championship and come back. I mean, it's different ways, but he left kind of in a bad way, even though he was there for, I believe, 8 years, right, and had some big-time moments. I don't think the fans in the arena are going – well, they won't be fans in the arena, but, well, maybe it's Texas, so, you know, maybe a full house. I don't think they're going to welcome him back with open arms. Although I will say this, you can have love for the city, and I think that's what he's saying. I got love for the city of Houston, just not the franchise.
Yeah, I would agree, and I guess he's what Kevin been trying to feed some of the people there with his restaurant.
Yeah, with his restaurant, he's fed a lot of people. He's brought in a lot of water. You know, obviously the weather conditions and electricity has been an issue down there, so he's helped the community out a lot. But the Rocket fans, I'm sure, are probably not that pleased with him still.
Look, if they're going to burn LeBron's jersey in Cleveland, he comes back and boo him and do all those things. After everything he's done for that area and that state, James Harden doesn't stand a chance to get a big standing ovation.
Super Bowl host committee has officially launched the Super Bowl 56 Legacy Program. Champions live here in partnership with the LA 84 Foundation, the Play Equity Fund, and the NFL. Over the next year, the team will identify 56 champion organizations doing unsung work across LA and be featured as part of this social impact initiative as the legacy of Super Bowl 56. Details at LASuperBowlHC.com. Ronnie, Kevin, thank you. Rodney, we're back tomorrow for 1 hour.
Yep. Quick sprint again, Fred. So I fight with my pen. Late night, down sunset, like in the scene. What's the worst they could do to a player? Got me lost in hell to live and die in L.A. on bail. My people say, die in L.A., the place to be. To live and die in L.A.